For the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And it is time once again for the weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, now the five, count them, five locations around the Las Vegas area. Got to be one near you for all your nutrition and supplement needs. Check out Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank Harness, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Big T Terrence, he is off working it once again. That's why there's five stores around. The guy does a great job. I don't know when he sleeps.
Actually, the fifth location, which opened up just like last week, is over at the Fashion Show Mall. So make sure when you're getting your holiday shopping in today, check out that location. One of the most beautiful stores I have seen in a very long time. And stocked like all the other Vegas Discount Nutritions from floor to ceiling.
All right, so a bunch of stuff to get to today.
Oh, so much.
Especially
going on
with taking the weekend off last weekend. Hope everybody out there had a very happy Thanksgiving, but now it's time to get right back into it. Hard to believe that we are through week 13 of the NFL.
Unbelievable how fast it's going. I mean, holidays right around the corner. So many things that we've missed in the last couple of weeks, but Let's before we get into all of the things we missed, let's talk about last night real quickly, because Bellator 166 was last night, and Bellator 167 is tonight.
What?
Yeah, Bellator taking a big step right now. They're putting on a double show. Now, tonight's card, unfortunately, did lose it lost the main event and the co-main event. So not as exciting as what we were expecting, but still, they're putting on a doubleheader.
It turned out to be a bantamweight tournament of such.
It's sort of. Yeah. I guess that's the way we can put it.
Well, look at it that way. Come on.
And the weird thing about it is the bantamweight fight last night for the championship. Now we have the contender fight tonight. If they would have known that those main events would have been knocked out of tonight's card, they probably would have done the contender one before the actual championship one, but things happen.
And what's actually interesting about tonight's contender fight is Joe Taimangalo and Darian Caldwell, they've already fought.
So it's a second
they've
fight.
Already
rematch.
Fought. And in fact, actually, Caldwell was expected to dominate through the first fight and got choked out in the third round. And it was considered probably one of the biggest upsets of the year. Darian Caldwell, North Carolina State, Division I wrestler. I think he was an All-American national champion. The guy has got some skills, and he's looking to avenge that loss.
Well, and if you look at the betting lines, the books certainly expect him to avenge the loss. He's anywhere from an 800 to 900 favorite in the fight.
He dominated.
Really?
He dominated the first two rounds of their first meeting, but caught in the third round.
What were the odds for last night, Dante and Warren?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm looking at it right now, and those are the odds on tonight's fight. So they are not expecting lightning to strike twice. If you think it can, you're going to get a nice little payback on it.
Okay,
I don't think it will. And see, that's the thing, is Caldwell was so bothered by that loss that he lost that fight on Friday night, and on Monday morning he was training at a new camp. He left his camp. He went over to Alliance MMA, which is funny, Joe's former camp was Alliance MMA. So now he's training with guys like Dominic Cruz, Phil Davis, some real killers in the game. So expect a much different outcome. But let's talk about last night's outcome really quickly. Frank, you sent us a text in the middle of the night. I got it this morning, and I couldn't agree with you more. Eduardo Dantes, he beat Joe Warren. He beat him soundly last night. He beat him by a unanimous.
Very decisive.
Well, it should have been a unanimous decision, but it was just a majority.
What
decision.
Do you mean it was a majority decision?
There
what
was
are you talking about?
One ref, one judge, who actually scored it a draw, Which
47-47.
How on earth
did Adelaide Burke do an MMA fight?
Joe Warren's mom had him losing the fight for crying out loud.
It was a little wacky.
47-47.
We've seen bad calls before, but
unfortunately, it's happening regularly. One or two every fight card.
Yeah, that it was very bad call though, and I mean I don't know if it has to do with the new judging system they're implementing, and they were talking about how you're going to see more 10-8 rounds.
They were all over the place last night.
Oh, they certainly
were.
But
what's the criteria? Does anybody know?
The criteria is do whatever the hell you want if you're a judge.
Yeah, I think that guy won a lot. I think that guy won a little. That's just the way it comes.
I mean, he hit a jab. The other guy came back with the right hand. He missed, and then he hit him. That's a 10-8 round? What?
Well, actually, let's talk about that jab for a second. How beautiful was Eduardo Dantes' jab last night? He was hitting Warren so hard with that lead jab that, I mean, Warren was physically getting angry. Well, at one point, he got hit so hard, he grimaced down, and you saw him, so angry.
Let's be honest. I mean, it comes out of nowhere. He don't even look like he doesn't throw a correct jab, right? I mean, but then it's dangerous when he throws it. I mean, it's way down below. He's dancing around, moving, switching side, and then boom, your face is on the other side.
He doesn't throw a correct jab in boxing because his hands aren't in the right place. They're all over the place, and he's constantly taking that right hand, and it's near his temple. So he's like, look at this, bang, there you go with the left.
Yeah, but then
then he's throwing the leg kicks all over the place. I thought Warren was going to run out of the cage and go, screw this, man, I'm done with this. After the fight,
Joe Warren will never quit.
After the fight, he's congratulating him, saying, you're a great champ, you're a good kid, this and that, And then when they did that 47-47, the start, he's jumping up and down like, wait a second. I have the three blind mice here. Maybe I have a shot.
Yeah, I honestly really don't know where to go with that. Like, when you see that kind of, like, that is somebody who should not be judging, not even mixed martial arts. That's somebody who should not have a job.
They shouldn't be judging.
They should not have a job.
Toddlers and tiaras or whatever. They should judge nothing. Oh, wow. Nothing.
No. Did you do toddlers and tiara reference?
He did.
I've never seen the show, but I see it's on Channel Surfing, so maybe that's where they belong. But he shouldn't be doing any. He or she should not be judging anything.
We need to find out who the judges were.
Absolutely 100% incompetent.
Yeah, absolutely right there, Frank. And now, not. That was last night. Tonight we got 168 from Bellator.
Before we go ahead, there was another championship fight last night on the other side of the world. Brandon Vera destroyed somebody's nose.
Brandon Vera, that guy had absolutely no business being in that cage. And that's unfortunately the one thing about about ONE FC. And it's kind of like old school Strikeforce and what we're starting to see with some of the matches that Scott Coker is putting together in Bellator. Mismatches. And you know, when you got a guy like Brandon Vera, when you think back, and for anybody that does not know who Brandon Vera is, Brandon Vera was a guy who blew up onto the UFC scene a couple of years ago, came in, he was undefeated, he was tearing through the competition, and then he made that big mistake of saying on air after a post-fight interview that he was going to be the first two-division champion in the UFC, which up until a couple of weeks ago had never happened.
Doesn't happen anymore. It's over.
It didn't happen, and we'll get into that in a second. But Brandon Vera, then he got into contract disputes with the UFC, and we've really seen if the UFC wants to bury you, they can bury you. And that's kind of what happened with Brandon Vera. He came back after a year of sitting on the shelf of contract negotiations, lost some close fights, and, you know, just
he was never dominant again.
He was never dominant again. But he did lose some close fights that I think he should have won. You know, you look at some of the fights that he lost, and, you know, there's, like, again, judging really needs to be looked at. But besides Bellator tonight, we do also have the UFC tonight, the Ultimate Fighter Finale, as we talked about the Tournament of Champions, where we've got champions from all around the world vying for a spot at Demetrius Johnson's title tonight. The winner of that was Tim Elliott. I still did not watch any of the Ultimate Fighter. I know you guys did. Tim Elliott, a former UFC fighter, was actually cut from the organization after three losses in a row. Goes out, wins the title, and was he Titan or Legacy?
Titan
Championship, three in a row, works his way back into the UFC, but tonight he's got to take on quite possibly
Mighty
the
Mouse.
Best in the UFC.
Tonight he will lose his fourth in a row.
Well,
in the UFC.
In the UFC.
He has no shot. This is not going to be Matt Serra versus GSP from years ago, and I know we didn't think that was going to happen either. I did watch a lot of this. The show this year, and I thought a lot of the guys were evenly matched against each other, but against Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, there is no way in hell, to use a WWF reference there, that he's winning this fight.
Oh brother.
Unless Johnson just completely says, you know what, I'm going to fight with an arm tied behind my back.
Well, see, here's the one good thing is that one of my favorite things or my favorite thing about the sport of mixed martial arts is you don't know what's going to happen. You lock two guys in a cage and anything on any given night can happen.
Correct.
So does Tim Elliott have a shot tonight? Not the biggest, but can he win? Yeah, he can. Will he? Probably not.
Well, then bet that dog, because he's a bigger dog than the Bellator main event.
There is a very, very strong possibility that Tim Elliott gives Demetrius Johnson one of the best fights of his life. We don't know that yet, though. But we'll talk a little bit about that more later. What I do want to get into is some of the things that we've missed over the last week. And the first thing that I want to get to is, I know Armando has been chomping at the bits to be able to talk a little bit about Conor McGregor's favorite fighter. Before we do that, let's talk about what caused this featherweight shakeup. UFC 206 was supposed to be going on. Well, it is still going on. December 10th, that is next weekend, from Canada. And the main event was Anthony Johnson against Daniel Cormier for the light heavyweight title. Daniel Cormier, again, got injured. He is unable to fight, so they had to find a new main event. And that new main event turned out to be Anthony Pettis.
Which was already the
co-main event, is Anthony Pettis against Max Holloway. Now, I guess the UFC decided that they needed to spice things up a little bit, make this more of a sell.
I thought it was a great fight, so I was excited anyway.
If you're a fan of fighting, you don't have to be a hardcore fan of mixed martial arts or of boxing or of sambo. It has nothing to do. If you are a fan of fighting, Max Holloway versus Anthony Pettis sells it for you. That
yes.
is going to be a great fight. But what the UFC decided to do was now promote this fight for the interim featherweight title. Problem is you already had an interim featherweight champion.
No, he's now the full-fledged champion.
That's stupid. So, like Armando just said, he is now the official champion.
Yes.
So what they did was they stripped Conor McGregor of his featherweight title. They promoted Jose Aldo, who was their interim champion, to their official champion.
Yes.
And now Anthony Pettis and Max Holloway will fight for an interim championship. And I swear, I think you, Frank, today when you go get blood, they give you that nice box of Cracker Jacks afterwards. Chances are you open that up, you're going to find an interim title in there.
Well, there just might be.
They are handing them out.
Because, you know, nothing says world champion to me like getting knocked out in 13 seconds.
Exactly. Now, you hit the nail right on the head. How can you rightfully tout Jose Aldo as your champion when he got smoked in 13 seconds? Yeah, he came back and he won a good fight against Frankie Edgar, took that decision, dominant performance. But you got knocked out in 13 seconds and you're putting the belt back on this guy? I mean, you're not letting him earn a title shot. You're putting the belt back on his waist.
He wanted to earn it, but the guy won't fight
him. He did not want to earn it.
Yes, he did.
Jose Aldo didn't want to earn it the first time, didn't want to earn it the second time. Jose Aldo has been given, and no disrespect to Jose and his ability, but he has been given two UFC championships.
Okay.
Given.
Unfortunately, it was because of the hat that you're wearing got sent over to UFC. WEC.
Never die. Never die.
Exactly. Exactly. That was the first time. This time, well, when Conor doesn't want to lose the weight to fight at 145, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, he has every right not to do that. Okay. You're going to neglect that? I mean, come on. I remember seeing how angry you were when he just basically dismissed Frankie Edgar.
I am, and I agree that they had to do something.
Yeah. But what they did was stupid. Yeah, you're right. You are correct.
What they did is dumb. I agree something needed to be done because you were causing a backup with the featherweight division. There was a log jam going on, and nobody was defending a title. Mm-hmm. And you just had competitor after competitor, front runner after front runner, standing there with nothing to do. Standing there with their jock in their hand.
Yeah, I have no problem whatsoever with him taking the title away from him because he's showed no indication that he wants to fight there again.
I don't think he can make featherweight again.
I don't think he can. I don't think he wants to. And if he did, psychologically, and the toll it would take on his body and that after fighting guys at 170, there's no reason for him to do it. He's already proven everything there. But to give somebody the title, you have a tournament. You have a couple, okay, here's a couple semifinals like the BCS college football or something. You don't say, okay, this guy that got knocked out in 13 seconds is our champ. Now you two fight for an interim belt. And then, well, no, because then it's not even an interim belt they're fighting for. Then you guys fight and it's a number one contender match.
Yeah, when you're making an interim championship, totally. When you already have an interim champion. I mean, the decision, and I know we're already going up against the clock, and I hate that we haven't gotten into the major part of this segment what we want to talk about, but this is why you're seeing what we saw happen on Wednesday, which we'll have to get into on the next segment.
Yes, yes, yes.
But this is why you're seeing. And this new management, this new ownership, WMG, they messed up. And I bet you Lorenzo Fertitta right now is sipping on a margarita saying, woohoo, did I get out just in time.
Oh,
just in time. Because the new management, we've had problems and we've seen fighters and you've seen media and you've seen fans have their issues with the way Zuffa ran things. Well, Zuffa is not running things anymore, and it looks like show is becoming a lot crappier. It looks like things that were bad are getting much worse. Much worse. I don't know what's going to come out of what we saw on Wednesday, but we do need to get into it. So instead of just sitting here and clamoring on about it, why don't we actually hit a break? And then when we come back, we'll talk about...
Wait. Sunday's TLC. I mean, we got to put it in there somewhere.
That's right, and that means TLC. It means it's time for a break. Here on the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Lots more MMA to get to, some NFL. Who knows what all. Stick around. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, Ballpark Frank Harnish, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez. Lots to get to here after taking a week off. Man, this is a busy, busy time of year.
It certainly is. And, you know, we were talking about how the UFC last week had to announce, or it was actually just this past week, had to announce that UFC 206 was getting a new main event, which is Anthony Pettis against Max Holloway for the interim title, but they also had to cancel a future event with them throwing so many championship matches. They had nothing ready to headline their January 21st card at that Honda Center, right? Was that where it was? At the Honda Center? In
Staples Center.
The Staples Center. So it was in L.A. They had to cancel it. And Armando, that actually looks like it's the silver lining for you. I know Armando right now, he has been sitting there. He's like, I have to figure out what I'm going to do. I have two of the most life-pressing decisions going on right now. What am I getting my kids for Christmas? And what am I going to do on January 21st? Because the UFC and Bellator's big top Bellator promotion of Chael Sonnen and Tito Ortiz were on the same night. Well, now the UFC canceled that event. Armando, you've got nothing to worry about. You can sit there and watch Chael and Tito with no interruptions. Are you excited?
I am excited, actually, because it does, you know, make things a little easier. Because we make fun of Tito a lot, but I am a fan of Tito, so stop that.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of this fight. But
no, but I'm still going to watch it because did you see what he tweeted out? He actually thanked Dana White in the UFC
for canceling the fight. More eyes on his fight.
Shouldn't Tito Ortiz always come to the cage with Big Head Todd and the monsters playing behind him?
Oh,
you've got a good point there. Now, listen, when I used to work on satellite radio, one of the big things they used to always do is they always take pictures with the fighters and the whole crew of the show. And I have a picture where I'm standing next to Tito Ortiz, and I look like the hunter at the end of Beetlejuice. The one who's got his head shrunken and the big, like, Tito's head is so big next to mine.
Barry Bonds' hat doesn't fit Tito Ortiz.
No, it doesn't. And Barry Bonds is what? We went from a size 7 to a 13 in a couple of years. Tito's got a big head.
He's got a big head.
And not just full of himself. He really has a big head. But we got to get on because we have so much to get to. But let's talk about Wednesday, this past Wednesday. This Wednesday, or Tuesday and Monday, we were getting these little cryptic messages that we were going to have the announcement come Wednesday afternoon that was going to change the sport forever. Will it do that? I don't know. But on Wednesday, the MMAAA, that's the MMA. The Mixed Martial Arts Athletes Association was unveiled. Now, it's George St. Pierre, Cain Velasquez, Tim Kennedy, Cowboy Cerrone, TJ Dillashaw, and, drumroll please, Bjorn Remney.
Who?
What? Right? I know. Okay. So, for those people who don't know who Bjorn Remney is, Remney was...
He was a guy that ran Bellator.
Former COO and actually the founder of Bellator. And now I know he is just on as an advisor, but I do remember once Malki Kawa, who is John Jones, which another guy we have to talk about that we didn't get into. John Jones, manager, once said that he is the most anti-fighter level management ever. He has actually, the contracts were worse than UFC. And he was more of a nightmare to deal with compared to the UFC officials. So we already know from all the talk how bad the UFC has been to deal with for management companies and for fighters. Bjorn apparently was much worse. And we heard things about Eddie Alvarez and what Eddie had to do just to get out of his contract and get into the UFC. So
Will Brooks.
All of their contracts were nightmares. So when you hear a guy like Bjorn Remney is in charge of or as an advisor here, You kind of get a little scared, but
look what the five guys they have. That's amazing.
That's the difference there is the five guys that they have. GSP, not a fighter anymore, but possibly a free agent. That it depends on who you're listening to. You're listening to the UFC's lawyers or you're listening to GSP's lawyers. He's either a free agent or under UFC contract, but still. No need for GSP to do something like this. No. George St. Pierre is rich. George St. Pierre is healthy. George St. Pierre retired on top of this game. But he's not the norm.
No.
George St. Pierre is one of those rare, and when I say rare, I do mean like the rarest of competitors that got to walk away from this sport the way he wanted to. Most don't. Look at guys like Chuck Liddell. Matt Hughes, who, by the way, Chuck Liddell, Matt Hughes, fired from the UFC last night.
Matt Hughes okay with it.
But Chuck Liddell, no comment yet, from what I understand.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from Chuck
I haven't heard anything from Chuck yet, but both these guys were released, and which was a massive layoff from the UFC. I believe it was 70 employees in the last 2 weeks have been let go. Chuck and Matt, obviously the biggest names here. But when you got guys like GSP or Tim Kennedy, Cain Velasquez, Cowboy Cerrone, TJ Dillashaw, all of these guys are fighting this month.
Yes.
They are still under contract with the UFC and fighting.
On that, real quick. Is Cowboy Cerrone fighting or what is up with that eye?
I don't know.
I mean, anyone tell me that is an awful looking eye in these pictures? I mean, and if it's makeup for a movie or whatever, why would you take pictures for something that you just started in that?
Hey, maybe it was I know he's shooting something for Netflix, so maybe that was the only time he had. you know, maybe he's going between filming and then going to this press conference and then going to filming. But I don't know. But yes, that is something that is of concern because he is supposed to fight Matt Brown next Saturday night. Yes. And if you look at Cowboy Cerrone, his eyes messed up. I mean, messed up. Butterfly stitches. It looked like he got cut real bad.
But you know, Cowboy Cerrone, if they let him go in there, it doesn't matter what his eye looks like. The only way he's not getting in there is if the doctor tells him he can't do it.
But did you hear his quote during this press conference?
Oh, absolutely. That's the difference.
Coming from Cerrone?
See, Cowboy, TJ, even Tim Kennedy, even Kane, all of them expressed one common thing. Well, two common things. That they all want what's rightfully theirs as fighters, and they want all these fighters to band together and to get what's rightfully theirs. And not just current fighters, former fighters. Guys like Mark Coleman, guys like Mark Hunt. Or, not Mark Hunt now. Well, we don't know if Mark Hunt's going to fight. But Matt Hughes, these are guys that are no longer fighting in the UFC and, you know, never really got their rightful due, so to say. Mark Coleman isn't making much money. I mean, hell, just yesterday, Carla Esparza, winner of The Ultimate Fighter, put on Twitter she is selling her Harley Davidson that she won
on the show.
From the show, and not because she wants to, it's because she needs to make ends meet. And then one of the worst things you could have possibly expected came afterwards, Patrick Cummings, UFC fighter, okay, fought for the UFC light heavyweight title. It was a short notice thing, but this was a guy who fought for the UFC light heavyweight title, responds that, well, I would buy that in a heartbeat if I could, but I'm homeless right now.
Oy.
So he is a guy on the UFC roster, homeless. Now, if that's not saying that the UFC is taking more from these fighters than they should, well, I don't know what does.
What did you also see Joanne Calderwood's little thing with the tickets?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, they're in her country. They're coming. So she calls or emails or whatever it is their procedure is. Hey, I'd like a couple of tickets, like I always get. And they tell her no. They send her a form, a price guide for her to buy tickets. Luckily, Dana White came and said, "Uh-uh, babe, I'm taking care of this. You got your tickets."
And the only reason is because that went out on public forum and public media. That's the only reason.
You think so?
Absolutely, that's the only reason.
I would love to think that he did that just because that's what she does.
Yeah, I would like to think that too. But after, you know, when
I first started
covering MMA, when I was working at Satellite Radio, I loved Dana White. I would call him Uncle Dana. This was Uncle Dana, the cool uncle everybody wants. I don't feel that way about Dana White anymore.
No, well,
I do not. After all, I mean,
he's not a starving promoter no more.
The promises and the millions of empty promises, the guarantees that fighters get that, you know, just get slapped around and turned around. I am no longer a fan of Dana White.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I just don't know how much of it is. I do think Dana has changed, like you said. I mean, you know, he used to walk around Palace Station and all over the place just handing out tickets all, hey, hit me up on Twitter, here I am, see me and you have tickets. But I wonder if some of it isn't with the new organization in that, because Dana now has a boss that he has to answer to.
Yeah.
The Fertitta said, here's your vehicle, here's the keys, drive it and do whatever the hell you want to. Now Dana has to answer to people.
Well, everybody's got to answer to people now. And see, like I said earlier, why I think Lorenzo Fertitta is doing a jig right now that he got out just when he should.
Oh, yeah.
Because from what I understand, new management hasn't even met with fighters. That's why guys like TJ, like Kane, like Cowboy, they've all of them the other day said that they requested meetings with new ownership to at least, hey, you're the new boss. Can I meet with you? Come in, talk about the future, the way things are going, what you want from me. Some just a little conversation. All denied.
It almost seems in some respects like these new people that own it are more interested in taking care of celebrities and getting their names out and their movie stars and everybody else. I don't know how much they really care about the fighters, and I don't know whether they should maybe change the name to Butcher MMA or something like that, because they're cutting people left and right.
They certainly are, and I mean, when you even look at...
Well, isn't that what the WME is? Some sort of magic?
Yeah, they are a talent agency, absolutely. The guy, Ari, who owns it, is been is well, I guess most known because from the show Entourage, Ari Gold, who was Jeremy Piven's character, it's basically a take on him. That's who this guy is.
Okay.
And I mean, just I don't know if you guys saw the Cole Miller interview.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cole Miller is a guy who's been in the UFC since
a very long time.
Ultimate Fighter. He was in season 5. He actually, I believe he fought the UFC before he was on the Ultimate Fighter. He did. Didn't he knock out Jens Pulver?
Okay.
I believe.
No, that was the... I forget his name right now. No, that wasn't him.
Okay. Oh, that was Joe Lozon. That's right. Wow. Cole Miller, Joe Lozon. They do look very similar. But anyway.
I don't think so.
Cole Miller was set to fight in the Philippines. And the day before he was getting ready to leave Atlanta to fly out, which, by the way, he lives in Florida. And he drove to Atlanta because there were hurricanes in Florida to take that extra initiative to not miss his flight. He drove to another state, then gets a text message, not even a phone call. Hey, your event's canceled. The event's canceled. So he spent 8 weeks away from his family. He said he collected in that 8 weeks $500 worth of profit in 8 weeks, supporting family. And he has just lost all desire to fight. And it was really sad watching this guy who's had almost 20 fights in the UFC, who can't make ends meet and is so distraught over this that the one thing he loves, which is training and fighting, he doesn't want to do anymore. Taking the love of the sport away from the fighters. It is not a good sign. I don't like the writing I'm seeing on the wall right now.
Well, it definitely looks bad. You hope that maybe World Series of Fighting and maybe Bellator and some of these other organizations, maybe they will step to the forefront more. Maybe they'll get some fighters over there and they'll do a better job. There was a lot of speculation. People were all excited when they first did the sale to UFC. But again, you know, be careful what you ask for. Okay, they might be spending over $4 billion for it, and they might be genius businessmen that know how to make $4 billion. But it doesn't mean they know how to run a sport or an organization like that.
Not at all. Armando, do you see guys like Cole Miller, guys that have been in the UFC for years, just walking away from the sport now?
I do. I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, because they're not getting treated very well. I mean, they're... Whatchamacallit? The guys that are getting treated better or getting treated well right now are guys that were possibly leaving. Possibly, I mean, they weren't. I mean, those are the ones that are getting new contracts. Those are the ones. I mean, it's if you're not treating your employees correctly, I mean, even a little bit, you know, give them a little crumb or something. I mean, of course, they're gonna leave.
You know, in some respects, maybe some of the guys that are getting cut are getting the better of it. Because now they become free
Josh
agents.
Josh Thompson thinks that was the best thing.
They can go someplace else where they're going to be treated better.
I think we talked about the Reebok deal and how people they lost their sponsorship. I mean, this is just all building up. And when you're having new owners not calling you back, you know, not even wanting to talk to you, have no desire to listen to any of your
not giving you tickets to an event. Come on.
When you have guys on your organization homeless.
Yeah.
Homeless, living in a tent. Now, I mean, if that doesn't say how far away the UFC is from all those other sports that they strive to be like.
Well, and again, you just talked about the Cole Miller circumstance when that card in the Philippines was canceled. How many other fighters on that card lost fights as well? What did they go through? I'm sure his isn't the only story.
Oh,
it's the one we're hearing about right now. But names that aren't as big as Cole Miller were on that card as well. What happens to all of them? They don't get reimbursed.
Most fighters already had their fights rebooked. Yeah. And then there were some that were just, hey, we don't care about you.
Yeah, and they still have to pay the gyms that they train in. They still have to pay the coaches they're working with.
So ultimately,
what
is it this MMAAA thing? Is that they're going to try to make things better? Or
they're going to try. See, here's the thing.
What is their bottom line?
They want, obviously, better treatment of the fighters, higher pay, more percentage of the purse. These things are totally understandable, but they also want, and I don't, and a lot of people are out there saying union. No, not unions. You need to understand that can't happen. And if it does happen, it's going to take years, years to unionize people who are technically independent contractors.
Well, and not only that, it's also going to take the biggest names in the sport that are relevant now.
Well,
GSP and guys like that are nice names to have, but he's not a relevant active fighter.
But Kane, Tim Kennedy, Cowboy Cerrone, TJ Dillashaw, they all are. And
right.
That's the one difference that the MMAAA has over organizations that we've seen spout up over the years, such as Robert Massey's MMAFA, which was the Mixed Martial Arts Fighters Association. And then you had Jeff Boris, who was the baseball, he's a manager for a lot of the baseball players. He has the PFA, which is the Professional Fighters Association. And then both of their goals have either been bringing the Ali Act into MMA or getting fighters to unionize. The problem is you can't get the unionization. And if it does happen, it's only going to affect fighters in the future. It's not going to affect the names now. But when you have guys like TJ Dillashaw and Cowboy Cerrone standing on stage talking about the way that they've been treated and how the UFC is not paying them what they deserve, that's a big stand. Okay. And all of them reiterated
He's interesting.
They're all scared to death.
Death, yeah.
That's the thing. They are all scared to death. And yesterday the UFC had their weigh-ins for the Ultimate Fighter tonight, and, you know, every UFC employee making their we heard about it, but I don't know enough on the subject to comment. You know, they've all been fed their PR answers, the way to say it, what to say, when to say, and how to say it. But you don't want that. I'm sick of that.
Of course not.
You know, and that's why I'm excited about this. I am excited when you see relevant fighters.
What's the...
Who, if they decided, listen, if Cowboy Cerrone, Cain Velasquez, TJ Dillashaw, if those three guys plus Tim Kennedy all decided, you know what? I'm not fighting. You got a card tomorrow night? I'm in it. I'm not fighting.
Okay. I'm with you there. I hope it's something relevant happens from just them coming out. But at the same token, Donald Cerrone just signed a new contract with the UFC.
I believe he only has one fight on his contract.
Just one. He just
one more. I believe
he re-upped.
He just got. He's got one more fight on his contract.
For all I knew, I mean, it's like, really, dude?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're doing this, and okay, I hope.
And if that's okay, let's just say he didn't have one fight on his contract. Let's just say Donald Cerrone just signed a 4-fight contract. It doesn't matter. He is that upset about this. And he has taken such a hit. Listen, a couple of months ago or a year ago, it came out that Cowboy Cerrone is living paycheck to paycheck. When you have a guy fighting 5 times a year in the UFC in nothing but big fights on pay-per-views, and he's living paycheck to paycheck, dude, there's a problem.
Well, that was his problem for spending too much.
He does spend a lot, but he also puts his life on the line.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying.
That's the one thing, and it's just like professional football. I mean, baseball, not so much, but Frank, you're a big hockey guy. I mean, I remember back in 1980, I saw a goalie get his jugular cut right on the ice.
Clint Malarchuk.
Yeah. So, I mean, your life is on the line every time you step in that cage, every time you step out on that ice.
Without a doubt.
You should be compensated for it, and you shouldn't be living paycheck to paycheck. You shouldn't be living in a tent, and you shouldn't be selling your freaking Harley that you won on the show just to make ends meet.
No, I agree with you. But, you know, the one danger with it, when you do have a contract, remember, these people that just bought this thing and paid over $4 billion for it.
Oh, they'll sue the hell out of you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They'll make it so that you won't be able to fight and hone your craft and get a paycheck anywhere. They'll get you for breach of contract.
They could, but here is where do you take a stand? Do you accept the fact or do you that, hey, this is the contract I have to deal with, this is the way it is, or do you say, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. And I'm going to, not only am I going to, but I'm going to get the biggest names in this sport, guys that are relevant, guys that do matter, and we're going to stop this. We're going to collectively stand together.
And maybe, and again, I hope they do have more guys that will join them. Because right now, even though there's really big names out there, the UFC is showing with these new guys. They'll throw John Jones off a card. They'll throw Conor McGregor off a card.
They'll take Conor's belt.
They're not worried about that, you know. So they will do what they want to because right now they think that no fighter's bigger. If they get enough in there, they will. I'll throw this name out there, though, and a lot of young people aren't going to know what the hell I'm talking about. Curt Flood. Curt Flood was the baseball player who first said that baseball wasn't fair. Free agency and all the millions that they're making today, the hundreds of millions of dollars, is all because of what Curt Flood did. Unfortunately, Curt Flood's career was over and his life was ruined because he was the one that made that stand. I hope that 10 years from now we're not going to remember Cowboy Cerrone, the guy who was one of them that was behind the first attempt to unionize fighters and UFC and MMA? Boy, it's too bad that his career ended the way that it did and that he did get screwed and the lawyers got with him and they made sure that he never worked in a gym or did anything again.
Well, Armando just showed me that actually Cowboy Cerrone in August signed an 8-fight contract extension.
I thought it was a longer fight deal.
Yeah. Wait, look at that then.
Yeah.
This is a guy who just signed a contract extension.
And he's scared.
And he's scared because he knows that he's getting the raw end of the deal. My question is why did you sign the contract
exactly?
And then because they say they've been doing this for a while. They've been working on this. That Bjorn Rebney, as an advisor, has been working behind the scenes to put something like this together for the last 2 years since he's been removed from Bellator as that harsh promoter that he was.
And maybe the fighters are thinking if we have a guy like Bjorn Rebney who gave us such horrible contracts.
What?
Maybe he knows what a horrible contract is, and we'd rather have him in our corner. Kind of like the best cops are former felons or something like that, because they know what they're doing. So maybe there is a little bit of that thinking to it.
Yeah, and it's funny, you mentioned George St. Pierre, Conor McGregor earlier. In that press conference, George St. Pierre said no UFC fighters are getting what they deserve, including Conor McGregor. Conor's not getting what he deserves.
I know we're up against a break here, but I did see something. Remember the NBA players recently when they were talking about a lockout and that? They wanted 50% of what the owners got. They thought that was the fair market value of what they were worth. From what I've read and seen and looking at different sites, MMA Junkie, Bloody Elbow, different things, supposedly the MMA fighters in UFC get like 15% right now of what the organization's making.
I thought it was 8. I read.
I heard it was as high as 15 and as low as like 6 or 8 or something. Yeah. But even at the high water level mark, if it is 15, and I doubt it is that high.
Yes.
That's a hell of a far cry from the 50 that other major sports get.
I'll always remember Heath Herring. Heath Herring, yes. A big star in Japan, came to the UFC, had a couple of big UFC fights, lost to Brock Lesnar, was probably the most notorious fight he had, where he almost knocked out Big Nog in his
The most
UFC
notorious one is when he got kissed and he knocked the guy out of the...
that was K1. Now, I remember his statement, and I'll never forget it. Dana White has 3 Ferraris. I just want one.
Yes.
I just want one. And you know, Frank, when you've got promoters and the owners, if you take the fighters away from the UFC, if you take guys, because that's what the UFC seems to think. They think that their UFC branding, that those 3 letters are the most important letters in the alphabet, and it has nothing to do with a fighter. You know what? You take guys like TJ, guys like Kane, guys like Cowboy out of the UFC. And you've just got another Titan, another Bellator, another Legacy, another regional promotion. That's all you've got because it's the fighters that make the sport what it is.
Yeah, and forget about the 3 Ferraris. How about the private jet along with it as well?
Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, man.
Well, when you sign with the UFC, you just have to sign your likeness over. You got to sign all that. It's not yours anymore.
So you're not you.
Yeah, you're not you.
Hey, remember that whole thing, your whole life that you lived? It's mine now.
It's mine, yes.
I think your guy's boy Vince McMahon might give a higher percentage to his fighters. All right, it is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. When we come back, we got a card tonight to talk about as well. More MMA talk on the way. Stick around.
It's my greatest day. I'm about to get paid on Saturday a ton of money for beating up a guy that I consider easy money. So to me, it's an amazing day, amazing week leading up to it. That's it. He's going to break mentally.
So when you look at Jake and you say he's easy money, what is it about him that you think is going to be an easy opponent?
The only way he get heart if he goes on Instagram and people start hitting them hearts on him because he ain't got it, man. If you really know me, you know I like to beat dudes up, man. If I could just extend their well-being and just keep beating them up, I like to do that. But he's not going to make it to the final bell. I can tell you that much. Not consciously, at least.
And that is Mr. Masvidal getting ready for his fight with Jake Ellenberger. It is the weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Guys, what do you think about those comments? Masvidal basically said, it's funny because that was John Morgan with MMA Junkie talking to him. He starts off by saying, you know, you don't look so good. It's not one of your best days. Hi. He's like, what are you talking about? It's the best day I've ever had. I'm about to get paid a blank ton of money to go and beat somebody up who's not even a worthy opponent.
Man, George Masvidal, one of the best, most appropriate nicknames in this sport, Game Bread. He was bred for the fight game, and this is going to be an excellent fight with him and Jake Ellenberger. Both guys, like almost identical records, 31-11 for Ellenberger, 30-11 for Masvidal. But George Masvidal has been fighting way longer than that 30-11 indicates. I don't know how many people remember him from the Kimbo Slice backyard fight days. But that's where George Masvidal, tough boy from Miami, likes to throw down and scrap. That's where he got his name. Used to be seen in those Kimbo Slice videos, those backyard brawls. That's where Masvidal got his start. And you know what? He hasn't strayed too far from there.
Evidently
just
not.
Loves to throw down.
And it's funny, too, because during that interview, there was another part where he was like, well, you know, come on, weren't you impressed by Ellenberger's last fight? It was a tough opponent. He's like, no, nothing impressed me. He goes, and we definitely have a different definition of tough. A lot of these guys think they're tough and they're going to come at me, and then they come at me and they go, oh, wait a second. Oh, we don't want to do that with this guy. He goes, so we'll see. He says he's coming after me, but he won't. He's got no heart.
The thing about it, it's such a contrasting style, too. If you got a guy like George Masvidal who is great boxing, he's got good wrestling, good overall, well-rounded skills, but more technical. While Ellenberger is a heavy, heavy hitter, great wrestler, but he's got those heavy hands, probably the heaviest hands in the welterweight division next to Robbie Lawler. And I have to say, I'm beyond impressed with Jake Ellenberger's last performance.
Yeah.
I know Masvidal, talking to John Morgan over there from MMA Junkie, may not have been impressed, but Jake Ellenberger just became the first man to ever stop Matt Brown due to strikes. I mean, Matt Brown has been submitted before. He's never been knocked out or TKO'd until he met Jake Ellenberger in his last fight. And Ellenberger, you know, twilight of his career, when he's lost four out of the last five, but that last win came in as a major underdog.
And maybe he's back.
But, I mean, that's not all we've got tonight. We've got some really
main event.
Really
we all agree that Demetrius Johnson is going to walk through Tim Elliott.
I don't think he should. He should. Demetrius Johnson is by far the pound-for-pound best fighter in this game right now. Demetrius Johnson is lightning fast. He's got the skills to pay the bills. But completely overlooked and unappreciated by fans.
Oh, yes.
Completely.
Without a doubt.
But Tim Elliott's tough. So this is going to be an interesting fight. I do see, though, Demetrius Johnson retaining his title.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, I mean, if you've got to go outside of the UFC to find your champion opponent, chances are things aren't going to go too well. But yes, Armando, you talked about the co-main event. Co-main event is going to be absolutely stellar. The two coaches from The Ultimate Fighter, Joseph Benavidez, Henry Cejudo. Henry Cejudo, former Olympic gold medalist, coming off of his first loss to Demetrius Johnson,
amateurish.
Yeah, he didn't look good, but I that's not what I expect out of tonight's fight. This is a fight I really think Henry Cejudo may have gotten under the skin of Joseph Benavidez.
Oh, without a doubt.
Joseph Benavidez seems a little rattled, seems more angry, seems a little bit more determined than usual, but we'll see what happens. You know, he switched things up, no longer over at Alpha Male full time. He's over with Dwayne Ludwig. Made the move with TJ, so very interesting to see the way things go tonight. But overall, this is a fun fight card, very, very fun fight card. You've got a few girls fighting that are going to be real. Jamie Moyle, Oh, she's from the Ultimate Fighter. She's from Tough Enough. She's fought here. She's a Vegas girl from Syndicate. She's always fun to watch. It's going to be a great card. Can't wait to see it. And remember, when you're out doing your shopping today, Vegas Discount Nutrition over at the Fashion Show Mall.
That's going to wrap it up. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next Saturday morning.